Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
We started this series with our last article, Dawn of the Satanic Age, as by way of introduction. Now, if you've ever taken the time to read some of the well-known authors, past and present, within what is known as the New Age movement, which incorporates all branches of anti-Christian philosophy, you'll likely read a great deal of ethereal-sounding language, making it often difficult to understand. But it sounds so mysterious, it's got to be right, right? Also interesting is the idea that what they tend to present is somehow based on truth, it's simply a given, though no proof is ever offered. While people searching for hidden knowledge found within the New Age movement simply take it for granted that truth is inherent within the teachings found there. Now, these authors, writers, speakers, generally speak of mystical things that they were initially revealed to them, they say, through some otherworldly being. It very likely came with all the attendant feelings one would assume to be associated with the world of mysticism. These feelings were the very things that confirmed to their inner mind that what they had been receiving was and is truth. This is often how people determine truth today, via their feelings. Madame Blavatsky, Manly P. Hall, Albert Pike, Annie Besant, and numerous others have done this in their writings. They sound so otherworldly that it is easy to see why many embrace their teachings, because it itches their ears with allegedly forbidden knowledge that you can't get anywhere else. Now, people like Alice Bailey, David Spangler, Barbara Marciniak, and other luminaries, George Van Tassel, within the New Age, some alive, some have deceased, are much easier to understand because they've written their books using today's vernacular. Often these people come right to the point and explain with clarity what it is they're trying to achieve and how to help you get there as well. Alice Bailey is one such person. She began what was originally known as the Lucifer Trust, but then shortened the name eventually to Lucis Trust. It was actually Lucifer Publishing Company and then became Lucis Trust, I think for obvious reasons. Lucis Trust has a direct connection to the UN. David Spangler is also associated with the UN as a consultant. Bailey and Spangler, along with others in the New Age, constantly spill the beans to us. They constantly telegraph what their intentions are all about. But for the most part, Christians remain unaware of what they're saying because many, to I guess most, don't see the need or have the interest to spend time researching the tenets of the New Age, which is again modern day Satanism or witchcraft. Now, if a Christian doesn't want to go there and investigate, that's fine. It's up to each individual to decide for themselves. However, for me, I like to know what the enemy is up to, what they're thinking about, what they teach, and ultimately, how are they working to bring it all to fruition? As a side note, it is interesting to me the way sports teams will spend hours watching videos of the opposing teams playing, just to learn where the weak spots are and or what they can expect from them. That's common in the sports industry. It is, I think, very smart of us as Christians to learn what the enemy is teaching through people who just don't know any better, who are wanting to be blinded and contained within their own little environment of untruth. It's important, I think, to understand that the New Age firmly believes their revealed knowledge to be true. Now, of course, it's not true in any way, shape, or form. However, there is a grain of truth in what they teach, just like there is a grain of truth in what Satan teaches. But as a grain and not the whole, everything they teach then is based totally on lies. Now, let's go back to the beginning to see how this worked with Adam and Eve, all right? In Genesis 3, Satan had somehow gained the use of a body of a serpent. It appears that the serpent was a very willing accomplice, which is why God later issued his curse on the snake. Satan used the body of the serpent to sidle up to Eve and began asking questions that contained a grain of truth or numerous grains of truth, but were still lies. Here's the text, Genesis 3:1. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? That's Genesis 3:1, King James Version. Notice the serpent's question. Yea, hath God said? Eve responded with a lie of her own, which was actually the first sin, by the way, about not even touching the fruit. Just as importantly, notice God is labeled as the Lord God here in the text. But Satan simply used the term God. Is that important? Yes, quite so, in fact. The phrase or title, Lord God, signifies two characteristics of God, his mercy and his judgment. Mercy, Lord, judgment, God. Satan, however, simply referred to him as God, omitting the Lord, the merciful aspect of God, signifying only his judgment. And Eve, interestingly enough, repeats the same error in the following text in her response to Satan. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That's Genesis 3, 2-3. So, immediately, God is seen as only judgmental by Satan. This suggestion is then taken up by Eve, who also sees God as only judgmental for not allowing them to eat of the tree. How dare God do that? But God never said that they could not touch the tree that was off limits. He said they couldn't eat of it. Two entirely different things. So Eve got that wrong. But it is clear to touch it is the second step towards eating it, isn't it? With the first step being lusting after it with the eyes. Now, from that point onward, Satan, through the serpent, called God a liar directly by disputing the fact that they would die. Satan says, basically, no, I'm paraphrasing here. No, you won't die. God is trying to hide the truth from you. He doesn't want your eyes open so that you'd become like him. Do you see how judgmental God is to you, Eve? Satan was a liar from the beginning. But let's go back a little bit further, even before this. How do you think Satan managed to convert 1/3 or 33% of the angels of heaven to his side after he himself had fallen, and these were all constantly in God's holy presence? How do you think that happened? Well, Satan probably used the same tactics with them that he did with Eve. He discounted God's mercy and also lied to them. His misrepresentation of God's character and lies managed to convince 33% of the angels that he, not God, was telling the truth. Now, they certainly knew and know now that they were conned, and they will suffer the eternal fate of the lake of fire for it. But why didn't Eve immediately turn to the Lord God and ask for his help? Why didn't she cry out to him in her confrontation with Satan? Why didn't she turn to Adam at least? Seems Adam was just standing around watching the whole thing, though some commentators believe that Adam was someplace else and not even present at the time. Eve didn't turn to God because she was already in the process of wanting to sin. Because her view of God was marred by Satan's misrepresentation of him, Eve may not have felt comfortable reaching out to God. She had started to distrust God. The quote says, And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. Genesis 3:6. Now, whether Eve was standing right there next to Adam, or if she had to go search him out, it really doesn't make any difference. He easily acquiesced to her suggestion to eat of the same fruit. Now, in Genesis 3, we see quite clearly how Satan works, and we need to pay attention to it. It's very important. But if we move to the book of Job in the first chapter, we learn a bit more of how Satan works and the limits that are placed on him. Notice clearly, please, that because Job obeyed God, and he likely obeyed God out of a very healthy, reverential, and profound fear, God then had placed a hedge of protection around Job. Now, we don't know what that hedge was or what it looked like. It could have been a group of angels directed to protect Job and his family. It could have also simply been a command from God that told Satan and his venomous helpers that Job was off limits to them. Don't even try it. In either case, it is clear that those who fear God and seek to obey his commands because of it come under special protection. Now, this does not apply to Christians who deliberately turn toward and embrace sin, grieving God and possibly shipwrecking their own faith. In such a case, God will often allow Satan to attack these Christians in various forms for their own good, to help bring about their conversion, or should I say, their repentance back to him. And we see an example of this in 1 Chronicles 21:2-3. So is it natural to assume that if Satan began his fallen career in heaven by lying and extended that same MO, modus operandi, to the first citizens of the earth, we should have no trouble believing that everything he has done since has also been based on lies? When I read writings of Alice Bailey, David Spangler, Barbara Marciniak, George Van Tassel, and many others within the New Age movement, which is Satanism, Luciferianism, witchcraft, I expect to find lies. They don't see any lies at all, and neither do the people who are constantly following after them, willingly absorbing and embracing what these people teach. They believe that the revealed forbidden knowledge is designed to help humanity. Now, Alice Bailey wrote about, interestingly enough, how to destroy Christianity decades and decades ago. Here's her 10-point take on this. Take God and prayer out of the education system. Reduce parental authority over the children. Destroy the Judeo-Christian family structure or the traditional Christian family structure. If sex is free, then make abortion legal and make it easy. Make divorce easy and legal. Free people from the concept of marriage for life. Make homosexuality an alternate lifestyle. Debase art. Make it run mad. Use media to promote and change mindsets. Create an interfaith movement. Get governments to make all these laws and get the church to endorse these changes. 10 points right there. Gee, where did she get the idea decades ago about all this stuff? Long before we saw any of this even begin to work itself out in society. Well, obviously, she got it from Lucifer himself. Bailey died in 1949, yet these ideas sprang forth from the entity known as Satan, or Lucifer to her, the light bearer, decades before her death. Now, in the video I previously highlighted from Atlean Childs, he notes that after he left Freemasonry and began publishing information about that group, he received an email from a high-ranking Mason who simply said, quote, "We will not stop until every church is a brothel," unquote. Well, I've no doubt that they mean it. However, let's be also very clear here that if that does occur, it occurs because God will allow it, and he will allow it for his purposes and his purposes only. This is what the entirety of the Bible reveals, the unfolding plan of redemption from start to conclusion and what God is ultimately going to bring about. Now, including the fact that the dawning of the satanic age will occur and there is nothing to stop it. As I've stated before, while it can be fine to be involved in political efforts to change bad things in society, we cannot put our faith in that arena. We can't put our faith in politics or politicians. We must understand that Satan has been given the green flag by God to create the upcoming Satanic Age, which is the final global system of governance that will be the most terrible government that has ever existed or ever will exist. It is not an accident that this will occur. Neither is it any way, shape, or form a signal that God has somehow failed. Not at all. We'll be back next time with more on this subject, and I hope this is beneficial to you. And until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.